The Palestine Papers, this is an extraordinary leak. What impact do you think that these papers will have on the Palestinian government and on the peace process itself?
It does cast a light on the process of these negotiations. It shows that, on the one hand, there was a great deal of flexibility on the Palestinian side, to the point where they can really stir a great deal of anger among the Palestinian public. They have been willing to compromise on issues that were thought out before as uncompromisable. Yet the Israelis obviously were quite intransigent, totally inflexible. And on the one hand, it shows that the element of peace partnership, as was alleged by both Israel and the United States in the past, as far as the Palestinians are concerned, it was not the case. Quite the contrary. Israel was not the partner for peace. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, it also shows how weak the Palestinians are and how really alone they are in terms of dealing with the state of Israel.
Well, let's talk about some of the most damning revelations, at least to the Palestinian Authority. We hear that the Palestinian president was going to ask for the right of return of about only 100,000 refugees, refugees who actually number about 5 million. What's the significance of this revelation?
It's quite significant. You know, there are two issues for the Palestinians that almost it is sacrilegious to tamper with, and that is Jerusalem and the refugees. We have to understand that the refugee issue had already been decided by the United Nations way back when the State of Israel was established. The flip side of the establishment of the State of Israel is really to allow the Palestinians to return to their homeland. That has always been the case. That is concrete right. It's not something that should be negotiated in principle. Whether the Palestinian refugees come back or do not come back, that's a different thing altogether. But to really discard the principle of the right of the Palestinians to return to their homes from which they have been uprooted is, to Palestinians, sacrilege. To say that we will accept a token number and to do away with the principle of the right of return is unacceptable to the millions of Palestinians.
How realistic is it to imagine that 5 million people could be absorbed into either Israel or a new Palestine?
Well, you know, I'm not a refugee expert, but I can tell you this. The issue of how do you absorb or do not absorb and all these things, that is, as far as the Palestinians are concerned, is a non-issue. There is an incredible moral responsibility. There has been a tremendous tragedy levied upon the Palestinians. They have suffered a great deal as a result of the uprooting. They have languished in refugee camps for more than 60 years. You know, and so the issue of the refugees is far-reaching for the Palestinians. As I said, whether they can be allowed back in or maybe compensated and so on is not the issue. The principle should remain that these people have the right to return to their homes in accordance with international law.
Well, let's turn to the other big issue, Jerusalem. By the looks of the papers, the Palestinian president was offering to give up almost all of Arab East Jerusalem. What was Israel going to give up in return?
Nothing. As a matter of fact, as it seems, the Palestinians negotiated, being as weak as they are, and that is really probably the most heart-wrenching, that they were negotiating all alone without basically any kind of support or international support, or indeed Arab or Muslim support. The Israeli negotiator Tzipi Livni, as it seems, declared that the Palestinian concessions were not enough. And the Palestinians had balked at conceding one major settlement, which is Har Homa, you know, that really blocked their access to their portion of Jerusalem and the Haram Sharif. In other words, when the whole premise of the Palestinian state viable, you know, contiguous, with Jerusalem as its capital, as agreed to in one UN resolution after another, was completely chucked off by the Israeli negotiators. So now we can see that there has been, in many ways, one, Israel is intransigent and will not allow the Palestinians the two-state solution, which they touted for a long time. The Americans have been, in many ways, not an honest broker. Their commitments and their words and so on the issue, be it the road map or going back to the Clinton point and so on, do not bring the actual weight in terms of translating these words into deeds on the ground. And basically, they were satisfied with, in many ways, really, bullying the weaker among the negotiators, which is the Palestinians in this case, while giving a hand up to the oppressor and the occupier, which is the Israelis in this case. That is how this issue is seen, and not only among the Palestinians, but among the Palestinians and the Arab world.
So what next for Mahmoud Abbas? Can he recover from this blow, and who's waiting in the wings to step in if he does not?
Well, you know, for sure, this has been very damaging for Mahmoud Abbas, very damaging for the Palestinian negotiators. It shows how precipitous and panicky they were, unable to really grasp with what is happening. They're sort of cocooned in their world of negotiations. Negotiations have taken on a life of its own. Whether he's going to recover or not, I don't know. I assume that Abbas will continue to be there at least for the short term. Erkat will continue to be there at least for the short term as a negotiator. But indeed, this will, you know, strengthen the hands of Hamas, strengthen the hands of those who have been saying, look, there is no workable peace with Israel because Israel is unwilling to reach a resolution where the Palestinians are recognized in a national patrimony, period.
Well, Saad Erekat, thank you so much for talking with us and giving us your perspective.